Hello. Today I'm going to present our paper, Federated Access Control and Workflow Enforcement in Systems Configuration. First, I'll say something about the context in which our work is used, about the problems there are with system configuration tools. These problems are related to access control and workflow, and we try to solve them with our solution that we named ACL by generating meaningful changes to which we apply the access control. Then I'll say something about the prototype and how we evaluated our work in two cases, and then I'll conclude with future work and the summary. When you have an infrastructure with some machines, and there is a lot of feedback here. And you have some system administrators that manage the individual machines of your infrastructure, but they manage some aspects of your infrastructure and not one machine. So there are a lot of different aspects that are managed by each system administrator. This isn't a very efficient, and this solution doesn't scale very well. So for this, system configuration tools are used. These tools manage the configuration of each system in your infrastructure, and they use the central configuration specification to derive the configuration of each machine. The system administrators manage this specification in a central repository, and this poses a problem. When someone is able to introduce some malicious configuration in that central repository, he can control your whole infrastructure. So we need to protect this central repository in some way. It's easy to protect it from external users by firewalling, but how do you protect this repository from unauthorized access by users that are not allowed to change some aspects of your infrastructure? In the current state of practice in access control, most often the access control is implemented by defining some access control rules on the files in the repository, but this doesn't say what can be defined inside these files. So if you have user A that has only access to one file in the repository, he's still able to introduce some global configuration in that specification, and so controlling more than he is allowed to. There are also a lot of workflows in existing infrastructures. For example, system administrators don't directly control the configuration in the production repository, but they make changes to the development repository. In this development repository, the changes are tested. When they are tested, they go through a Q&A stage, and only then they get applied to the production repository. In some cases, there are another flow is used when there are urgent security updates, and they are approved by a security officer before they go in production. Another example of a very complicated workflow is in federated infrastructures, for example, a grid, where there are several sites that share some configuration and that have their own site-specific configuration, and there exist rules to how the shared configuration gets updated. We developed a solution for this that we called ACL. ACL is able to manage the access to the repository that contain the configuration specification by implementing access control and enforce workflows on them. The access control is fine-grained by interpreting the semantics of the changes that are made to the configuration specification. Because the semantics of the changes are interpreted, the access control is applied at the same abstraction level as the configuration specification. We also support workflow in federated infrastructures, and our solution is a configuration language agnostic solution. To explain how our solution works, I will guide you through with an example. In this first example, we'll do an allow change in a repository. A sysadmin will make a change to his own repository because in Agile, we use a distributed version control system. When the change is checked into the repository, it is checked if it's allowed based on the access control policy by inspecting the content, the author of the change, and the person or the sysadmin that made that owns the statement that is changed. When the access is committed into the repository, the sysadmin can push it to the central repository from where it's deployed onto the infrastructure. The example we'll use is changing a simple message of the day file. It's a very simple example, but it's an example where every machine in the infrastructure is involved. In this example, the current version of the specification that's inside the repository is written by Bart. Thomas now tries to change the content of the message of the day file by using a template-generated message instead of a string. Achel will analyze the change and create an update structure that says, that defines all the parts that are changed in the statement. On the left, you see the access control policy we'll use for the example. The first block defines a group of admins. Then the second block defines the first rule. And this rule says that admins are allowed to create a message of the day file. The next rule says that anyone is allowed to change the content of the message of the day file. And the last block says that everyone is allowed to make changes to the other attributes of the message of the day file if the change is authorized by one admin. Now, these rules are applied from top to bottom. When no rule matches, the change is denied. And if we take the rule that we have on the left, the first rule won't match the update structure because the change isn't made by an administrator. Then the second rule will match and make the and allow the change. In our prototype, we'll get this output. The first block is the revision where Bart edits his change to the configuration specification repository. And the second block shows the change that Thomas made. So if we look at this diagram again, Thomas checks it in into his repository. The change is allowed, and he can push it to the central repository to deploy it onto the infrastructure. Now we'll use a change that requires authorization. The system sysadmin, if he makes a change that requires approval, he is not able to push it to the central repository. He sends his change to a manager or a senior administrator that needs to approve this change. That person reviews the change, and if it's allowed, he'll sign off on that change and send the signature to the sysadmin, and then he can push the change and the signature to the central repository and deploy it onto the infrastructure. Now, if Thomas wants to make such a change, for example, changing the group of the message of the day file, we'll get again an update structure like this. The first rule won't match because Thomas is not an admin. The second rule won't match because the change isn't made to the content attribute. Now the last rule will match, but it says that he requires authorization by one of the admin users. Our prototype will give an output like this. So again, the overview, Thomas checks in his change into the in his own Agile repository. The system signals that he needs approval. He pushes it to an admin. The admin signs the change and pushes it back to Thomas's repository. And now he can push it to the central repository to deploy it onto the infrastructure. Now, how do we generate these meaningful changes? When someone wants to make a change to a file, we'll get the previous the current revision of the file from the repository. We'll compile both of the files to generate an abstract syntax tree. These two syntax trees are matched to see which parts of the tree have been updated, which parts have been added and have been deleted. From this, we generate an edit script. And from this edit script, we'll generate the update structure by encoding the semantics of the configuration language. The first three components of our solution are language agnostic. The compiler exists for a configuration language. The next two components are language agnostic, and only the last component is required to be re-implemented if you want to apply our solution to another language. This update structure is sent through the access control rules to determine if the change is allowed or not. So if we look a bit closer to the algorithm, we based the algorithm on the more general algorithm described in meaningful change detection and structured data. And more specific, we used the algorithm that they described in the change distilling paper where they applied the algorithm to Java source code. When we have the two abstract syntax trees, we'll do the tree matching and we'll determine which nodes have been added, updated, removed, or left alone. From this, we'll generate the edit script. And these parts are language agnostic. To validate our approach, we build a prototype. And this prototype was built in Python. We built it on top of a distributed version control system called Mercurial. We also developed a simple configuration language on which we applied our solution. And to really test our solution, we used PCFG2 to deploy the specifications written in our own simple configuration language. To authorize changes and to authenticate users, we used PGP. For the access control language, we used regular expressions to do the pattern matching. Then we used this prototype to evaluate our solution in two cases. The first case was a small infrastructure where there's a team of junior and senior sysadmins. And we used ACL to create a policy that enforces the responsibilities of the junior and the senior sysadmins. It enforces coding guidelines, and we use it to manage the configuration of a few machines. We wrote an access control policy like this. It's also in the paper. And we applied it to this configuration snippet that manages the network interfaces and the host file. The second case, we evaluated our solution for complex workflows and federated infrastructures. We applied it to a large federated grid infrastructure that has several administrative domains, and it has some shared and site-specific configuration. The description of the case is based on the description of the Belgian grid that was described in a paper here on LISA last year. They use a model where they have a central organization that has a repository where all the configuration of each site and the shared configuration is managed. In our solution, because we use a distributed version control system, each site has their own copy of that central repository to which they make changes. With ACL, we enforced that they were only able to make changes to their own configuration of their site. And whenever they made a change to the site, the shared configuration, they needed to have approval of all of the managers of each site and the central organization. Because there are institutions that want to work together on some new features, there are rules that allow the two first sites to collaborate without going through the central organization. So now the conclusion. For future work, we would like to validate AGL on complex real-life configuration languages. And the key challenges to do this is to develop an access control language that integrates with the configuration language and is easier to use than a list of regular expressions. Secondly, integration with existing tools is required for the notification and the collaboration between the system administrators. And to summarize, AGL's biggest contributions are it allows for fine-grained access control on the configuration specifications by interpreting the semantics of the changes. The access control is applied at the same abstraction level as the configuration specifications. So you don't have to write in your access control policy in lower terms. You can write it in the same abstraction level as you write your configuration specification. It supports workflows in complex federated infrastructures, and we use a language agnostic approach. So if there are any questions, I would like to answer the first question, where the name comes from. Whenever you're in Belgium, you should try it.
It's, Paul Krizak, AMD. This is some really interesting work here. I think that what is your approach to avoiding having to basically write your configuration policy twice? Because it looks like you have your configuration policy, which is in the repository, and then to maintain your access control of it, you almost have to have a whole separate parser, whether it's in regular expressions or otherwise, to control the access. So do you see the possibility of maybe moving this model into a configuration engine so that you don't have to maintain this duality, or you know, where do you see that kind of moving in the future?
Well, there can be a better integration of the access control language into the configuration specification language, but you should always define your access rules separately from your configuration specification, because the access rules define what you can write in your specification. So it's the same for firewalling rules. You have to write them as well. That's something you always have, if I understand the question correctly.
Right. I mean, what I'm kind of getting at is that with when you start having very, very complex configuration environments, just for us as an example, we've got over 5,000 lines of code that's just our configuration management. And if we had to write regular expressions for every one of those or for each collection of them to control access, especially when you start getting into more complicated access controls where maybe this group can do this, but only in certain situations, I could see the complexity getting really high if there wasn't a tighter integration so that you're not having to really match the language as much as using a feature or a hook that's already in the configuration management tool.
Well, in our work, we mainly developed the algorithms to extract the changes that you make to your configuration language. We applied it to our own simple configuration language, and for this, our access control language was sufficient. And in our paper, we really stress that if you want to apply it to more complex languages, where you have a lot more expression power, the expression power and usability of your access control language definitely has to improve. But the approach taken still stays the same.
Thank you.
Hang on, you're going to have to do it one more time. I forgot to mention earlier that this paper won Best Student Paper. So now let's give them a round of applause.